A very warm welcome to you all to our formal service, as Reverend Kane has called it. And this section, I'll share with you a little bit about God's word, which has been read to us. And part of this is what is called Jesus's inaugural speech at the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, where he had gathered lots of people together, and he was sharing with them what perhaps would be considered the manifesto of the Christian faith. And so we'll be looking at that. There should be a PowerPoint over this place. Is it on? Before that, I'll just introduce myself. My name is Newton Kibiringi. I'm the curate here in Weldon. And the easiest way of explaining a curate is more like Kane's shadow. And you saw there at the memorial, I just follow him around. And literally do that as I learn how to do what he's doing. And hopefully, at the end of 3 years, I'll be able to serve in his capacity, maybe in a different place, but that's what I do, that's what a curate does. We love being with you guys. We love you joining us. And this is your church as much as it's anybody's church. And so as we think about remembrance, I oftentimes am very moved by the act of remembrance. And that service means so much to so many, because it's a service not of looking back into a myth, but a reality that happened, and especially in 1914 when the World War broke, and what has happened after that. So we live, luckily, in a peaceful nation, not in a peaceful world as per se, but we live in a peaceful nation because of the sacrifices that were made by those who went before us. So while I was preparing, I came across some statistics that talk about when the war broke in 1914, the UK only had around 700,000 soldiers in the army. They needed to launch a mass recruitment campaign to have the required resources, the sort of human resources needed. And so there is, on the side, is an advert that went out. I hope that's how it looked like. It might have been black and white. But that's an advert that went out saying to people, we want you to join in the war, because it's a time of conflict and we need people to be involved in sorting out the global conflict that had hit the world. I was looking at those statistics, and those are people, those are millions. So when you look at those statistics, it's not just the UK. So people needed to look wider. And so Britain went into its colonies and brought people, including my birth nation of Kenya. And so when we think about this act of remembrance, we are thinking about a bigger picture of people who gave up their privileges, their joys, their leisure, so that they would get us to where we are. And so as we meet together, when we meet together there to remember them, we remember a reality that happened. So look at those statistics. Those are numbers of people. I was moved especially by India with 1.4 million, Canada, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, and other nations involved, part of the Commonwealth. Those are people who gave so much. And so today it's important to remember them and honor these people for their sacrifice. But it's also important to know that remembrance, and this is from the Royal British Legion, this is a quote I drew from them. It says, remembrance does not glorify war and its symbol. The red poppy is a sign of both remembrance and hope for a peaceful future. We don't celebrate the reality of war, but we celebrate the peace that was achieved. And so we do not, as they say there, we do not glorify war. We wish there was less war. We wish there was less conflict. And so in that same website, it says, we remember the sacrifice of the armed forces community from the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth. But it wasn't just the armed forces. I was looking at the statistics, the number of people that were needed to run the whole process. Those who are obviously on the armed line, but there were nurses, there were people who are involved in digging trenches, people who are involved in feeding, and people who are doing the medical stuff. So it's a whole collective of people. But equally, there were innocent civilians who lost their lives in the conflict. And so we remember those from that time and those who continue to die and suffer within that. Another thing that always moves me is the Kahima epitaph, which was said earlier today. And when I think about this, the only way I can try and understand it is only tracing it back to the Christian faith of majority of the men and women on the front line. How did they know? Because in the face of catastrophe and war and danger, it must have looked as though the world was coming to an end. They can only say these words, only rooted in a Christ or God who promised them that there is going to be a future. And so when they say, when you go home, at this point, perhaps they don't know whether home has already been bombed. They don't know the reality of out there because the crisis in where they are at was massive. And this could only be words of hope and faith. And so when they say, when we go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow. Tomorrow is a word of faith and hope. It's etched in hope. Even you and I, when we think about tomorrow, when we plan ahead, is an act of faith. Whether we be of Christian faith or others, it's an act of faith to hope that there will be a tomorrow. For your tomorrow, we gave our today. So even as we do the above things, as we do the act of remembering, oftentimes this causes us to think about our patriotic instincts as a people of this nation, people of the Commonwealth. But brothers and sisters, friends, I want to remind you about another citizenry, another citizenship, the citizenship in God's kingdom that is deeper and wider and more profound than anything else. And it's that hope that we have in Christ. So when Jesus shares with his disciples and his followers and says, be peacemakers, he's desiring a little bit of what happens in heaven around the world. He's desiring that equally, just like those men and women sacrificed, Jesus also makes his own sacrifice to deal with the biggest and the deepest human conflict, which is human separation from God. So quickly go through this. So the beginning of the conflict is in Genesis, the fall of man. For those of Christian faith, we acknowledge there was a starting point when man and woman fell out with God in their disobedience. And so the conflict started there. And then we have a promise of hope straight after. When God shows up, he promises hope. But we do live in the local world where there is local conflict, there is global conflict. And then Jesus makes the ultimate offering. He dies on the cross. And then he causes us, he reminds us to go out as people of hope, as people who care about others, as people who do not seek to retaliate rather to reconcile. But it doesn't end there. We also live in the awareness that Jesus will come again and he will bring the completion to the hope that we hold so dear. And so I've said the beginning of conflict is the Garden of Eden. For the Christian story, we believe that fallout with God is where everything comes from. The hate, the war, the conflict, both local, both personal and interpersonal, international and global. That's where it's rooted, that falling out with God who has created man in his own image. The caricature of the image of God starts at that point. And so we see conflict, both national but also in our family situations, between friends. And all this begins within a human heart. That is where conflict and evil dwells. And so we have to look at that, the beginning point. And then there's a promise of hope. Isaiah, who was one of the prophets in the scriptures, promises, he writes about this person who will arrive and deal with the deep conflict of the world. And he says, this is very familiar to most of us, especially as we go towards Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the promise of Jesus is rooted at the conflict of God falling out with man and man falling out with everyone else. We find promise of a future that is filled with hope in Christ, in Jesus. I just really love that last line, the Prince of Peace. Because when he sorts that out between us and God, then we have capacity, we have the we more like have a bank account open for us to access his peace and share it out with others. So Jesus offers the ultimate suffering, the ultimate sacrifice. We've sung a few songs here that point to him as our Redeemer, our hope, our Savior. And when he teaches this in Matthew chapter 5, this idea of being peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. I was thinking about this, and the only idea that came to mind was a very good English idiom. The chip of the old block. And my vicar here, Ken, likes to use that a lot in reference to his son who is studying engineering and following in his footsteps. This is an idiom that the English people use to explain. So if you come across someone who's behaving like their mom or dad, often it goes with dads, you look at them and all you can see is similarities between their behavior, their mannerism, their character, and their ways of life. Then you say, oh, he's a chip of the old block. And so when we think about Jesus saying this, that they will be called the children of God, he's saying, I'm in my act of dying on the cross, reconciling you with God upwards, and reconciling you with humanity. Humanity will see you, for those who are of Christian faith, they will see you, and they will see the chip of the true block, which is Christ. And how amazing that when those who follow Christ are named, they get a name that has Christ in it. They are called Christians. And so when we enjoin ourselves with the work of Christ, his teachings, his dying on the cross, his resurrection, and his promise to return, when we go forward, we can only carry the message, the aroma, the beauty of God in us. I cannot assume all of us are Christians, but for those of us who are of faith, it is so reassuring to know that God calls us his own children when we go forward and make peace with others. It's very important. It's so reassuring. And people will know. So God himself in heaven, he will say, that's my daughter, that's my son. Because of how we work towards peace. This does not mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that we just go and chat. But our deepest intention in whichever way we go forward, like who the people have been remembering today, they had to go forward into war. But the deepest intention within their heart, we hope, was that of reconciliation. Was that peace would be possible in the future that they did not live to see. So it's very important to know that. So there is that local conflict that we see today in families, in churches, in nations, that is still ongoing, even within ourselves. But there is hope because Christ has died for us. He is the Prince of Peace and he's able to sort things out. So again, going back to that idea of the chip of the old block or the rosemary, if you cut a piece of rosemary and you go with it, it just carries the aroma of the original plant. And so when we invite people into church, we welcome them through baptism and we baptize them into the power of the risen Christ. And so when they go out there, all they can do is to be like Christ himself. But this, as I said, as I draw to a close, this is not the end. It doesn't end there. if it ends at Jesus' declaration that blessed are the peacemakers, we wouldn't have conflict today. There is promise of the return of Jesus. There is promise of the full realization of the peace that the scripture talks about. So whereas we do everything we can today to sort grievances, to heal broken relationships, to be peacemakers, to share the goodness of Christ, whereas we do everything we can to lead towards the peace of the world and our own local front lines, our settings, we don't see the fullness of it yet. But that is promised. When Jesus returns, the fullness of peace will be possible. I love this verse in Isaiah. It says, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." There will be a place, and I'm talking about this because I'm aware that still, even though the war of the World War I and II ended, we still live in volatile times. But I want you to go back with the message of hope that eventually, when Jesus returns, the fullness of peace will be made real. That's what we believe. There's a famous other verse in Isaiah that talks about their swords will be turned into like, all I could think of, can you see the picture on the side? All the guns, the bombs we think of at the realization of Christ, they will be turned into plowshares and pruning hooks. They'll be turned into gardening tools because there will be no need for war. There will be no need for conflict when Christ returns. And justice and righteousness and the inclusion of all of humanity into one family. And it's not actually only humanity. The Bible talks of peace between human and animal. There will be peace. There will be dwelling together. And so the message is not finished. So we have to hold on to this hope that when Christ returns, we will dwell together in unity. But whilst we are here, please be peacemakers. Be considered the chips of the real block, which is the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus our Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of those who went into war for their tomorrow, which is our today. Thank you for all that they give. Remind us never to forget. But more so, Lord, we pray that you remind us never to forget the sacrifice of Jesus himself to reconcile us with you and reconcile us with each other. Lord, I pray if there's something I have said that causes people to want to know more, please would you keep that thought in their mind? Would you help them to look for ways of understanding more of what this is? And for those who are excited to be considered the chips of the real block, the true block, which is Christ, may they go forward and be peacemakers in all areas that they're in, both local, both personal and interpersonal. Within Weldon, Kobe, the UK, and into the world. Lord, would you make us an army of peacemakers? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.